Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many know God is good? How many of you know that it's important that we offer God the praise of our lips, our hearts? Hallelujah. To say what's on our hearts to God and say, Lord, I just want to thank you this morning. How many of you guys know this is Independence Day week? 4th of July is Tuesday. And I just say this to you this morning. I say, you know what? It's important that we're free. Is that right? But freedom comes only through Jesus Christ. How many of you know that? You know, you can be in this country and be not understand what real freedom is at all. Freedom comes through Christ. The Bible says that Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus told his disciples and he told some of the Pharisees, he said, the truth will set you free. You shall be free indeed because of the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for independence. Thank God for liberty. Thank God that we are in a country that we can go after God with all our hearts. We can love one another. We can do what we like to do. Amen? But I tell you what, the freedom that this country enjoys was paid for. Hallelujah. It was paid for. And the freedom that Christ brought us, hallelujah, it's something that is so different in our lives that if we'll just get a hold of this freedom that Christ brings us, we're going to find that God really, really does give us freedom. Really does give us freedom. I remember when I was drinking all the time, I thought I was having fun. I thought, man, you know what? I didn't realize that I was actually captured. Captured. Now look, I'm not saying this. I mean, look, I'm just, because for me, I was a drunk. I mean, I would always drinking, always with a beer in my hand. Always. That's who I was. But I didn't know the freedom that Christ would bring. But once he brought that freedom, let me tell you something. It's different. It's so different. Hallelujah. It is a really high life. Miller used to have a beer. They call it the high life. It really is the high life. How many know? Hey, this is a week of freedom. I mean, you know what? What I'm going to ask for you this morning to do is just feel free to speak to people this week. Amen? Feel free to talk to them about Jesus. It's cool. You're in a good place. You're in a good country to do that in. Hallelujah. It's time that we begin to do that. Man, God's doing some great things. Amen? How many of you in the house, God has been saying things to you just lately? Is there anybody like that? If you just raise your hand. I just want to kind of, like I said, you know what? Know this, that God is always and continually speaking to us. Sometimes we just don't recognize it. And I've been on this kick, seems like, for the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks maybe, about recognizing who we are, recognizing that God is saying some things to us. A few weeks ago, I talked about how the creation recognizes men and women of God. Do you know that? God has created this whole thing, and this whole planet, the earth, the angels of God, the demons that are in the earth, everything recognizes who you are. Do you realize that? And it's funny because sometimes we don't even recognize it ourselves. But God is always interested in building us and strengthening us. Is that okay? He wants to build you up and strengthen you. He wants to bring you to a place where you've never been before. And the way he does that is with his word. Is that okay? His word will build you and strengthen you, speak to you, lead you and guide you in the place you want to go. So I thank God for that. I thank God. You know, it would be something if our liberties were taken away where we couldn't have Bibles. Wouldn't that something? How many would remember enough out of your Bible that you could get along pretty good? I mean, not a lot of us. We have a lot of scriptures. But you know what's the best part about that is? God has given us His Spirit. And when His Spirit lives within you, I'm going to tell you something. You've got the Word of God in you. He's dwelling in you. And that's cool. It's a cool thing. They could take you, they could strip our liberties from it, but the Holy Spirit is still there to speak His Word into our lives when we need it. And that's cool. One of the things that God has said, do not corral my people. I want to give anybody and everybody liberty to do what God has placed within them. I very much believe that each and every one of you are so specific for this generation, for the end time generation. Every one of you are so specific with the things that God has given you for today. I believe that with all my heart. God will strengthen you, build you, and then sometimes He will send you, and that's okay. Sometimes He might say, hey, man, I'm going to build them. I'm going to bring them here. They're going to come to this house for a little bit. But then, Henry, I'm going to send them out. Is that okay? I said, no, God, you can't do that. And he said, I'm going to do that. I said, you know, God does do that. How many know that? There's a reason why we're here. And I thank God for that. I just thought I'd let everybody know that. That we are a church that is independently dependent on God. How many know that? I teach that. We teach that. We speak that to one another, that you be independently dependent on God. You're not dependent on your pastor, not dependent on somebody else in the church, not dependent on, that you're dependent upon Him. That your life and your heart belongs to Him. And whatever He says, that's what He does. If God tells you to do something, don't run to me and say, hey, should I do this? Come on, man. If God's telling you, talk to Him. Ask Him how. Show Him how He wants it done. Show me how you want it done, Lord, and you watch what God will do. Amen? Hallelujah. God's got some great things for you, folks. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to start. We're going to go to talk about the Shunammite lady. So if you would, turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, we're going to read those verses, and 8 to 37, then we're going to switch to 2 Kings chapter 8. Verses 1 through 6. This is about the Shunammite lady. Lord, we come to you, Father, and we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. Huh. Oh, yeah. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would, as we open your word this morning, Father, that you would speak to us, that you would lead us and guide us, Lord, that you would, Lord, touch our spirits this morning. Father, we thank you for the treasures that are in your word. We thank you, Father God. Oh, how good is your word to us, Lord. Thank you for that, Father. So, Lord, as we come and as we read and as I speak, Lord, I just pray that you would open a window from heaven, Lord. Pour out, Father God, that word that you would have me to speak this morning to your people. I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 8, it says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Notice she says us, huh, guys? Let's us make it. Yeah, and she's saying, why don't you make it? Anyway, sorry. He said, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set up for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in there. And it fell on a day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber, and laid there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, speaking to Gehazi, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said to her, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord. Nay, my Lord. Thou man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. Cool. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore will you go to him today? Why are you going, lady? It is neither new moon or Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy hand for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins, take my staff in your hand, and go your way. If you meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute you, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Praise God. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come into him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. Cool story, huh? I mean, I love it. I love what Elisha does here. And what I want to talk about is a Shunammite woman. Shunammite, Shunam is the Hebrew word for quiet and peace and rest. That's what Shunammite means. So this lady I just love the story because she really shows some really nice things. You know, how many of you know that it's important? Location is important to you. Is that right? How many of you know that? Where she was located was not a coincidence. Her location or her proximity, she was in a place that she had a, I don't know if it was a farm or ranch or whatever it is, a field. Her proximity, what God had given her, was in a place where the man of God walked by every day or occasionally. Is that cool? So as he's walking by, she looks and she invites him in to eat something. And then she tells her husband, you know what, I perceive this as a man of God. Why don't we build him a little room over there on the wall? And well, every time he goes by, he can turn in there. He can rest himself. Shunammite, he can rest. Pretty cool. So her location was really important to her. Is that right? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. No matter where you're at and whatever you're doing, location is important to you. It really is. Proximity. For us to have the ability to place ourselves in a place where God can bless us is a great thing. Is that right? Do you know that? Wherever you're at, I don't care who you are. I mean, look, whoever you are, if you go into a city, say you're new to that city, find a place that God can speak to you at. A house of worship, a place wherever you feel God is speaking to you. Allow God to do that with you. Your proximity, where you're at, is important to you. It always will be. It is continual. Know that God is going to be able to bless you no matter where you're at. But this woman just happened to be on the side where this prophet would go by. Hallelujah. So once she began to make contact with this prophet, she began to talk with him. She began to share some things with him. And the prophet was really impressed with this lady. He goes, man, this is such a nice woman. You know, the Bible even calls her a great woman. She goes, he goes, man, I like this lady. Look at what she's done for us. I got a bed. I got a candlestick. I got a chair. I can sit in here. I can take it easy. I can pray in here. She really enjoyed he really enjoyed what she had done for her. So he tells his servant, he says, hey, let's do something for her. What can we do for her? So they bring her in. They say, hey, we want to bless you somehow because you've blessed us. Folks, how many of you know it's important that we look for avenues to bless people? Avenue to say, hey, man, let me just show you the love of God, man. Let me bless you, man. But so she had blessed him. So he goes, I want to bless you back. So let me bless you. She goes, hey, I don't need anything. I'm good. Well, let me talk to the king for you. No, good. Or, you know, the king's host, you know, the captain of the guard. Let me talk to him. Maybe they can do something for you. I'm good. How many of you are like that? Hey, man, I'm good. God's taking care of me. I got blessing. All right? Gehazi, his servant, looks and goes, hey, you know what I don't notice? I don't hear any pitter-patter of little feet around here. She's got no kids. And I'm sure she's probably maybe a little discouraged about that. She goes, so Elisha says, call her in here. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to, this time, next year, according to the time of life, you're going to have a son. And she goes, oh man, don't tell me that. You're going to disappoint me. Don't tell me that. Sure enough, according to the time of life, it came about that she had a son. Is that okay? It's cool. Goes into the field. And he's helping his dad work in the field. And all of a sudden, he says, hey, my head. His dad doesn't know. He goes, take him to his mom. Take him, go see, you know. Go take him to his mom. So she sits on her. The lad sits on his mom's lap till noon, and then passes away, like the scripture says. There is something about this woman that is very icy, is very powerful to us, because everything about what just happened to her son, she shuts it off. How many know that? How many do you guys notice that? That she would not even say what was wrong, that he had died. Notice that she controlled her lips. She controlled her mouth. She watched over what she had been giving and what looked like was being taken away. She watched over it to the point where she said, when her husband said, why are you going today? It's not Sabbath. It's not a new moon. Why are you going to go see that? Why are you going to go bother that prophet? Her answer was not, because your son is dead. Her answer was, it's all going to be well. How many know it's important to hold to a testimony? Is that right? Do you guys know that? It's important to you to keep what's within you and speak what's within you. So she says, it's going to be well. So then she tells the servant, she goes, ride as hard as you can. And if I'm falling off, if I don't tell you to stop, You just keep going, but you just ride as hard as you can. So he did. She makes it to Carmel where the prophet is. And he sees her coming. He sends his servant down there. And he goes, Gehazi, go ask her if she's okay, if her husband's okay, if her son's okay. Gehazi comes up to her. Is it okay? Are they okay? Is your husband okay? He's okay. It's all good. It's well. Is that right? This lady was withholding her tongue from saying what she knew was just happening. Is that right? How many of you guys know that it's important that we know how to do that? Let me just show you a scripture. I want you to put up, if you will, look at this scripture. It says Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. I want to say, write these things down, if you will. Take these because I believe God is saying some stuff to us. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Is that right? Could that be right? Has anybody ever, your mouth got you into trouble? Is anybody here? No. We say, man, oh, no. If your mouth has never gotten you into trouble, raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, because I'm going to get you in trouble today. No. Hallelujah. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Folks, sometimes the Word of God tells us something, and we look at him and say, what I want you to do, I just want you to recognize that there is power in what's being said to you this morning. There's power in this, that whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. How many of you guys like trouble? Now, I don't think there's anybody in the house that likes trouble. How many of you like peace and joy? Hallelujah. How many of you know, do you guys know that the kingdom of God is not in food or drink or sports and or cars or in houses, but the kingdom of God is in peace, joy. I'm sorry, peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. So know this, that sometimes things are going to come your way and you're going to want to say something. Is that right? Has that ever happened to you? Everybody ever pushed your buttons? Come on, man. And you're going to want to spout out, man. You're going to want to, hey, defend yourself. You're going to, I'm going to say, but God is saying something. Recognize something today. Because, folks, I believe that God has taken us, calling us to a higher place. Not a place like we've been, but a place that's higher. I don't know of anybody talking, okay? Just so you guys know that. I don't know of anybody complaining and doing all that kind of stuff. He's just saying, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Hallelujah. I love this lady. Hallelujah. She looked for an opportunity to bless this man. She blessed him, and he turns around and blesses her, but she sees her blessing passing away from her hands. And the one place she goes, she says, I've got to get to the man of God. How many know that? Do you know that? In the Old Testament, it had to get to somebody that had a connection with God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We are in a time, we're all connected to God. Hallelujah. We don't have to find, you know what? You just go to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. My son, something has just happened to my son, my daughter, my grandson. God, I need your help now. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. It's important. Could you switch over to 2 Kings chapter 8? I want to read these verses. Elijah does, he goes and he prays, lays his staff on the young man, prays over the young man, and God raises him up. Isn't that cool? I love it. Elijah's love and concern for this Shunammite woman says, man, let's just go. Let's go. Let's do what we have to do. Do you know that sometimes maybe Elisha and his servant, maybe they're doing something that they needed to be doing. Maybe they're re-pouring concrete on their place. You know, I don't know what they were doing. But apparently, as soon as she got there, they dropped everything and left. He sent his servant, and then he went with her. it was important at the time to go and do and take care of the need. Isn't that cool? I love it, man. So this woman has made this communion, this connection with this prophet, and she's, man, you know what? He's a man of God. He's a man of God. And in chapter 8, we see this woman again. Verse 1, it says that, then spoke Elisha to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise, go thou and thy household, and sojourn wherever thou can sojourn, for the Lord has called for a famine. And it shall also come upon the land 7 years. The woman arose, did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry to the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, hey, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. And I want to just say this to you, that whenever God has given you something, that is yours. It belongs to you. When God gives you a word in your heart, hold on to it. Never let go. Isn't it funny how just when this king is asking Gehazi, he says, hey, tell me about all the great things Elisha has done. And Gehazi says, oh yeah, he's done this, he's done that, he's done this. And then he starts telling, oh, one day he raised a little boy to life. The little boy was dead. And this woman out in the crowd there begins to call and say, king, hey, I need my land back. I've been gone for 7 years because of the famine, but I need my land back. Isn't it something how timing is important with God? Right when that woman showed up, Gehazi was talking to the king about all the things that Elisha had done. And the king restored her everything. All that she had, even the fruits that her field had produced, he restored it to her. And I'll tell you something. God desires for you to keep the things that he's given you. The things that he's spoken to you, they're yours. Everybody say they're mine. They're yours. They belong to you. They really do. What you speak with your mouth can either build or destroy. How many know that? Let's put up Proverbs chapter 18, I believe it is. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. We'll put that up if you will. The Word of God says right here, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. How many of you guys see what this word is saying? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say is important to you. Do you know when God created the heavens and the earth, right? God had made Adam and Eve to take dominion over the earth. Is that okay? Let's look at that as a matter of fact. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 26 through 28. I love this. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle. And then see this next verse where it says, over all the earth. He says, over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God has given man dominion over this earth. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you have dominion over the earth. Look at it. Look at him and say it. Make sure you say, no, really, say this again. No, you have dominion over the earth. No, man. No, really, you've got dominion over the earth. God has called us to subdue. Is that right? It's funny. It's funny when God made Adam, when, you know, he had made Adam and Eve, but before he made Eve, he made Adam, and he's looking at Adam. He's got Adam hula-hoing and raking and... What else do we do, babe? Shoveling. Yeah. He had him working out there, pulling weeds. I don't know if there was weeds in the garden. I don't know. Probably not. But he's out there working, and God looks at him and says, you know what? It is not good that man dwells alone. I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. So what he does next is funny. He, instead of just putting him to sleep right there, what does he do? He tells him, he goes, hey, come here, man. He goes, he began to bring all the animals that he had created, and he told Adam, I want you to name these animals. And that's crazy. And I always kind of thought, wait, wonder, God, why did you do that? Why didn't you just make him a helpmeet? God was doing something. What God was doing, how many of you know that God's invisible? Is that right? Can you see him? Can you see him? God is invisible. He is the invisible God, is what the scriptures tell us. So how many know that that Adam probably was not seeing God the way we think he was? He walked with God. He heard God. But I don't think that he actually saw him with his eyes. So God had to say, you know, God had to think. He goes, you know what? I've got to teach this young man how to hear me. I'm going to place my words so that they become clear into his heart, so that whatever he says will come from me. How many know the word of God tells us man does not live by bread alone, right? But by every word that proceeds out of what? Out of the mouth of God. You know that God wants us to speak his word into the earth. God desires for us to do that. So he says, this is the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to have him name the animals. So when he brought a rabbit to him, he probably said, look, Adam, notice the ears. Notice the little bushy tail in the back. The two long teeth up front. It's a rabbit. Adam, it's a rabbit. Man, Adam's got it. Isn't that right? It's a horse. What do you think of this, Lord? What is it? What is that? It's an awful long neck on it. Is that right? It's a long neck. It's not a long neck. It's a giraffe. So he's naming all these animals, and see, and what it's doing is it's producing something within him. It's producing an ear to hear what God is saying. It's producing that. Is that right? You know how you know that? Because when he puts him to sleep, and he pulls a rib out. Is that right? And then he patches that, covers it back up. And out of that rib, he forms woman. Young man, young lady, that is why you are so... You dress up so nice. You want the guys to notice you. Or guys, you work out, you know, whatever. Because Adam is missing a piece. And you are a piece that's missing from the man. So there's always a desire to reconnect. So that, and God has placed that within us. It's a God-given thing. How many say amen to that? Amen. God's called us to find, what messes it up is man. Is that right? What messes it up is when man, because man, you know what? When a man goes after a man or a woman after a woman, then now you're in trouble. Is that right? Because God didn't create it that way. I don't know why I got on this, but guess what? Guess what? We've got a world that lives like that. They think it's okay. Where God is saying it's not okay. It doesn't work. That's not meant to be that way. I created man and woman in a special way, and it'll only work in that special way that I've created them. He creates Eve, and then God is bringing Eve, if you will, to Adam. If you can picture Eve walking towards him and Adam looking, God, what is this? What is this? Whatever this is, I like this. God, what is this? And what comes out of Adam's mouth is something like, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. For this reason shall a man leave his mother and his father and cling to his wife. That's what Adam said. And where did that come from? Couldn't have come from Adam, could it? Because Adam didn't have a mother or a father. What he said was what God was saying to him. Adam was learning to prophesy into the earth. That's what he was doing. He was prophesying. This is what this is. This. And folks, it's so important for us that we know how to speak into the earth. It's important to us. Because as you learn to speak into your circumstances, as you learn to speak into those things that are around you, you're going to find that God will respond because you're speaking in faith. You're speaking in trust. God has really been after me about the way I pray for folks. He says, look, do not say, Father, would you just heal this? Father, would you heal this cancer? Father, would you push this cancer out? It sounds good. Isn't that right? It sounds okay. But God is saying, no, man. Let me just help you a little bit. This is what I'm saying to you. I have given you authority over the earth. The earth and every sickness and disease recognizes that authority. Everything in the earth recognizes who you are. So speak with the authority that I've given to you. So it turns from, God, would you do this? It turns into something more like, in Jesus' name, that has to leave. You can't stay. Period. Get out. You've got no place in this house. And you begin to take the authority and you begin to speak what God has said. God wants us to speak the things that He's saying to us. It's important to us. Recognize these things. Hallelujah. Because He paid a price for them. He died on a cross to get these things to you. Hallelujah. Do you know that when God created the heavens and the earth and he told Adam and Eve, subdue the earth, take dominion over it, God basically gave them, I don't have anything. God basically gave them the key. Heaven and earth, it's yours. That's what he did. You guys, let's check this out. So God does not violate his word. How many know that? God will not violate what he says. Is that right? Psalm 115, verse 16. Even the heavens are the Lord's, right? Is that what it says? It says, but the earth he has given to who? To the children of men. He has given them the key, right? You remember what happened? He gave that key to Adam. Well, you remember? Adam turned it over to the devil. Is that right? Gave it right over to the devil here. There's the key. Unknowingly, I think he knew. His wife, or Eve, she was deceived, but the scriptures tell us that Adam wasn't deceived. I myself, this is me, I believe that Adam chose the wife that he could see over the God that he couldn't see. He was afraid to lose his wife. But God had a plan, didn't he? God had given man that key. Psalm 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips, is what the Word of God says. I will not break my covenant, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Now, just just bear with me a little bit, because I think I'm hoping I'm not losing you, because God has created something, and what he said, I'm going to give man this key. So he gave the key to Adam, and Adam lost the key, but yet God still was going to talk to man. God still needed man to prophesy, because God will not do anything on the earth. Listen to me. He won't do anything on the earth that's just out of his word. Do you hear what I'm saying? He will always honor his word. So when he looks and he goes, I am going to redeem mankind. But what needs to happen is I need to inspire some men that are on the earth to speak the things that I am going to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? God didn't just randomly come in and just Jesus died on the cross and boom. Why do you think it might have taken quite a few years for God to do this? Do you know why? Because it took inspiration after inspiration after inspiration after inspiration of God talking to man and saying, you need to prophesy into the earth. This, you know, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Prophesy into the earth, he was telling the men, those holy men of God. Hallelujah. One of the very, very key scriptures that he had to speak, that man had to speak on the earth so God could do it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Is that okay? A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. Hallelujah. See, God was using men to prophesy into the earth so that he could bring his son into the earth to redeem us. Do you get this? Are you understanding? This is how powerful words are. Folks, it's powerful to you that you take in the word of God and speak what he says. It's powerful to you. It really is. Because it will do things you wouldn't think would be done. It will. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Hallelujah. The Bible says this, make the tree good. Do you remember where it said? It said where we said, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And it says, he who loves it shall eat the fruit thereof. Is that right? Doesn't matter. Do you know that you can create evil and you can create good? That is the power that God has placed within mankind. It's crazy. So here in Matthew it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. The tree is known by his fruit. Old generation of vipers. He's not talking to any of you. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. And then verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words you'll be condemned. Nice. Isn't that right? How many say, oh my. Oh, maybe I said some things I shouldn't have said. You know what? I'm going to say that the word, Jesus is saying, whatever you speak with your mouth, you're going to bring forth. You're going to bring it forth. Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Do you know that the word of God tells us, delight yourself in the Lord. Is that right? And folks, I'm going to tell you something. As a church body, as people in this city and in this and in working at least in this church, I desire for you to go after God with all your heart. Forget about your plans. Forget about what he had, what you might want to do, and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? The word of God says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The word also says that delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Is that right? He'll give them to you. It's not so much that you say, well, God, I want a Corvette. God, will you give it to me? And God says, well, yeah, that's what you want. I'll give you a Corvette. No, God is saying, I'll give you the desires of your heart. He says, you're going to find that God will be saying to you, hey, I'm going to place something within you. It's going to be in your heart. And when you speak it, it's going to come up and it's going to come out. And I will do that which you asked. Hallelujah. Because this is where he says, when he says concerning that, he says, if you look at that mountain and say, be removed into the sea, it's going to happen. Because it was in your heart and it was out of your heart. Not just in your mind. Not just something that you come up with. It's something that's flowing out of your heart. And folks, in your city, in your neighborhood, in a hospital, wherever you're at, all of a sudden you sense God saying something to you, speak what he's saying. Let that come out from within you. Because that's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to prophesy into the earth. Hallelujah. Bring forth. This is what the lady said. Let's build them a boat. Let's build them a room. And let's put a bed in there. And let's, do you see how what she was speaking actually helped create that avenue for that man of God to come in and rest? And later on it blessed her, because when she really needed, she ends up in front of a king. Maybe no way to get her property back, but the Lord puts her right at the right time, and the king restores to her that thing that she was asking for. God always, always watches over his kids. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight in the Lord with all your heart, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Could you put up Psalm 45, starting at verse 1? I want you to just look at this. And just, this is what I've been speaking to you a little bit. Starting up, my heart is inditing a good matter. I will speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is as a pen of a ready writer. Notice the connection that the writer is making between his heart and what he's about to say. He says, look, these are things that are in my heart. I'm about to say them. And these are some beautiful things, but because I believe that that what God gives you to speak as you speak them. I had a friend of mine, he goes, hey man, you know what I like? I like when you tell the kids to say, hey, I'm a man of God. I like doing that to kids. I like placing within their lips something. That's, are you a man of God? Yeah, okay, well, say that you're a man of God. I'm a man of God. No, I want to hear it louder. Can you hear it louder? Because I can't hear you. I'm a man of God. Can you hear it louder? Can't hear you. I'm a man of God. Before you know it, I'm a man of God. You know, everybody around is going, what are you doing to that kid, man? But I'm going to tell you, it's important that we place these things on their lips. Is that right? Let it come out. Let it. There's a power in it. It says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching my king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. Let's just say that the man here, the prophet, is speaking, and he's speaking concerning Jesus and what Jesus is going to do. So let's just put it that way. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. Next verse. Gird thy sword upon your thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. Can you see that this might be towards Jesus? Next verse. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Next verse. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Next verse. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Listen. It takes a prophet, it takes a man of God, a woman of God, to speak into the earth the things that God is saying. God is going to be saying some incredible things to you. And it's important that you understand that these things are coming to you from God. If he says something to you and you're not sure it's him, go to the Word of God and say, God, is this you speaking? And if it is, look around. Look around the Scriptures. And if you sense, and I'm going to tell you, if it's the Holy Spirit, you're going to sense that he's speaking to you. Begin to speak it into the earth, because it's important to us. It's important to the earth. Folks, we have been given this planet. It belongs to us. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the key back and he said, and now I'm going to give it to them that will hear me. And listen, God is looking for us to obey Him and to hear what He's saying and to speak into the earth. You're going to find it's the best thing that happens in your life. Amen? There was a young lady that came in here 2 weeks ago, and her dad was diagnosed with cancer in his lung. He's got cancer in his lung. He's got probably maybe 2 weeks to live. And then within a few days, they found cancer in his blood. Brought him up. Pastor John got around his daughter and some other folks. I'm not sure who it was. Prayed on that person. Said things like, hey, that cancer, it's illegally. It's illegally possessing this man. This man had had a dream that in his dream, he woke up and his bed was filled with blood. Got up and he goes, man, full of blood. And then he woke up from his dream. He was having a dream that he dreamed that he was in, his bed was full of blood. He woke up, got up, and then saw the blood, and then he woke up from, really woke up, and says, man, what was that about? When we spoke to him, we said, that was God confirming something years ago, that his blood is enough for you. And when he realized that, folks, I believe it, man. I believe that God claims. She called, I sent a text message to the young lady. I said, hey, how's dad? She goes, he's doing great. That cancer in his lung, it's gone. They said they found cancer in his blood. Where? They can't find anything. See, folks, it is the Word of God. It is. It is God's Word. But it takes men and women of God, you. It takes you to speak these things into the earth and just, this is what God has done. He has healed us forever. How many says, I mean, look at your neighbor and say, he's healed us forever. Look at him again and says, you know what? Look at your neighbor and say, you know what? You're going to find, keep talking. Yeah, you can talk. You know what? You're going to find that you don't need to buy them drugs anymore. You will find that the doctor will say, you don't need it. The doctor will tell you because it's a fact that God has healed you. Listen, sometimes people will say, hey, don't tell people to get off their medicine. I'm not telling you to get off your medicine, am I? Did I say get off your medicine? Did I say that? I said the word of God tells you that you are healed. You are healed. I'm going to say that again. You're healed. Pastor John, get up here. I'm going to say this again. You're healed. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins and then he rose again on the third day. How many believe that in the house? If you believe that, raise your hand. If you don't believe it, don't raise your hand. But if you believe it, raise your hand. Because that is the word of God. It says that by his stripes, you were healed. Hallelujah. And that is truth, folks. You know, we're living in a time where people don't even recognize truth when it's being said anymore. But so, folks, we are in a time where you better be valiant for truth. It says that in Jeremiah. God's looking for people that are valiant for truth. Eager to say, this is what he says. I don't care. I don't know how to explain why you're being the way you are. But the fact is, you're healed. Period. That's the power of what God has done. And folks, when we begin to get, I mean, can you picture? Do you remember how the people of the children of Israel came out of Egypt? How many were sick among them? Does the Bible say? The Bible says there was not one sick among them. When they came out of Egypt, folks, it's time that we get our eyes out of Egypt or the world and begin to hear what God is saying to us. You're healed. You are healed. I'm going to say that. I'm going to look over here in this section. You're healed. Every one of you, you're healed. Over here, you are healed. Every one of you. Right here. John, go down that end down there, John. Tell them that. You're healed.
Amen.
You're healed. You're healed. You are healed. You are healed. Sometimes we're spending our money for things that are not profitable till you're healed. Listen to this. You're healed. You are healed. Every one of you, you're healed. You are healed. By the blood of Jesus, you've been healed. That's just the way it is. Pretty bold. say, oh, Pastor, you're in trouble, man. You're going to get... No, man. The Word of God is true. It is true. Amen. And we need to stand on what God has said. Not be wishy-washy. Just say, this is what He says. Amen. If you're taking medicine, next time you go to the doctor, ask the doctor, hey, can you check? I might feel like I might not need this stuff anymore. Can you check? He might look at you and say, well, it's getting better. Okay, that's a word. But it's got to go. It's got to go. Next time you go in, hey, check again. Check again. Why are you wanting me to check on your drugs for you? Because I believe that God has healed me. That's what I believe. I believe that I don't need them anymore. I'm not spending my money on this, on what He has already paid for. I'm not going to do it anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, man. I got to get better amen than that. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Sometimes we need a little adjustment. Is that right? Is that okay? Sometimes we need something like that. Sometimes we need something that will say, hey, man, hey, boom. Come here, Dallas. Sometimes we just need a little kick and say, hey, look, remember, this is what God's Word says. Remember that He said He's going to watch over you and provide everything you need. Remember that. When you got five people looking for your bill, for your money, you've only got enough money to pay one. You got 10 people looking for your money. You just tell them, hey, I remember that God says that He's going to provide all my needs. I don't have to worry about it. Because that's the Word of God. And you've got to just stay in that position. Because folks, you are no longer children of the world. You are of the kingdom of God. And you belong to a kingdom where there is provision. There is health. There is wealth. There is everything that you need. It's already been provided for you. It's already yours. But you got to tap into it. You personally, I can't do it for you. I cannot do it for you. Hallelujah. I cannot do it for you. All I can do is inspire you. That's all I can do. I can't teach you nothing. All I can do is inspire you. By the inspiration that comes into my heart as I speak it out. Listen to me. Listen. If you're holding something against anybody, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Do not be foolish. Don't fool yourselves thinking, I'm going to get healed because I keep saying it. And yet you're holding something against somebody in your heart. Don't do that. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense to hold anything against somebody and then go up to God and say, God, by your stripes I've been healed. God says, okay, wait a minute. That's true. But you have to forgive from your heart. You have to. Come on, man. Hallelujah. This is good for you. This is good for you. It is good for you. Because, folks, people are going to offend us. Is that right? John, why'd you get down? I'm just there. Go ahead. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, people are going to offend us. Is that right? But know this. Know this. That God's looking and He's watching us. And He's saying, look, how are you going to respond? Because you are a child of the kingdom. You are a man of God. You're a woman of God. You need to respond according to what you believe. And you watch what He does. You watch. You watch how the people that come to you and you begin to pray for them, they're going to get healed. You watch how you're going to speak words of wisdom and knowledge into people, into young kids, into teenagers. Do you know how much we need men and women of God speaking things into the teenagers today? Do you know? Because we're fighting so many things. Not only fighting what goes on in their high schools and what they're told about sex and all this other stuff, but they're fighting and there's video games and all sorts of stuff going on that is absorbing their time rather than hearing the Word of God. And so we need men and women of God that will speak into those kids and say, man, let me just say this to you. God loves you. He's got a powerful moving for you that's going to take you someplace you've never thought you'd ever be. You watch, because God is good. And worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Know this. Know this. Know this. That He is calling you to be who you are. Know this. He's calling you to be who you are. Every one of you. He's calling you to be who you are. He say, look, I paid a price for you. It's time. It's time. I'm going to pull you in. I'm going to show you things. Hallelujah. God is good. Let me just say this to you. I can sense God saying, come, just come. Just let us speak over your lives this morning. Hallelujah. Do you know how many kids could be fed by that $300 bill that you pay every day or once a month for your drugs and your medicine? I shouldn't say drugs the way I said it, huh? Sounds kind of weird, huh? For your medicine? God is saying, hey, man, we're placing our things. We're placing our time, hallelujah, in a place that's not really right. We need to concentrate on what God is saying and do what God is saying and watch what begins to happen. Oh, my goodness. God is good. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. Your word says, by your stripes we've been healed. Lord, your word says, Lord, that you, Father God, are the author and the finisher of our faith. That you, Lord, you are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we speak health to each and every one. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak health and wholeness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. And we praise you for it, Lord. Ooh, Lord, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent of the things you said, Father, in Jesus' name. Let healing flow like a river. Lord, let healing flow like a river in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Thank you for being here. I'm going to say God's got more for you than you've ever realized. He's going to take you. He will take you to the place that you need to be. You just watch. You watch, brother, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.